We are Glow Mountain Bike. We are a podcast with a focus on recreational women's mountain biking. Our goal is to create a community with focus on being uplifting and encouraging to one another. We all ride for different reasons. Some ride to be outdoors in nature, some for mental or physical health. Others are professional athletes. Some like to race for fun or not at all. And many of us are aspiring to become professional leisure athletes. And all of us like to have fun playing on bikes. Whatever your reason for riding, this is a place for you.
Hi, I'm Julie.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Anna.
And we are recording to coming to you today is April 9th. And we're in Anna's basement.
Yeah. We are.
Yeah.
Feels like it's been a while since we've been here.
Yeah.
Like a month.
Yeah. This like once a month recording thing is like, ooh.
Yeah,
it does. Different. It throws you a bit.
So it's good to see everybody.
Yes.
And we have a very special guest tonight.
Yes, we do.
We are super excited that we have the good Dr. Taylor Harden joining us.
A.K.A. Taylor Swift.
Otherwise known as Taylor Swift. We're going to talk about trail building today. And so we wanted one of our local experts to come and join us. So, Taylor.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you.
Yeah. Great to have you.
It's probably the third time I've heard doctor.
Hey. Dr. Taylor Swift.
Are we really embarrassing you now?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Good.
You worked hard for that title.
That's right.
He's looking at me like, let's move on.
Yeah, we're here to talk about trails.
Let's talk about Taylor's true love, which is trail building. But first, where's everybody been riding?
I actually have been riding. I went out and I got a new gravel bike. And
Yay.
So I took her out for her first little spin in Heartland. We had a little, glow night last week, and it was great. The weather was beautiful, and got to go out on some of the back roads. So
did you ride it yesterday for the solar eclipse?
No, I ended up taking my girls, and I was riding with the girls. So I stayed back with the kids.
Okay.
And I did technically take my gravel bike out, but it was driveway sessions and then up the road a little bit, but... You know, not a true ride.
Yeah, we should just note that April 9th is, we're only a day after the big eclipse.
And it was
amazing. So we're all still on a bit of a high from the eclipse.
Yeah,
yes, we are.
Yeah.
You can ever get in the path of
totality
for a solar eclipse, do it.
Pretty cool.
It was really cool. Just expect a lot of traffic driving home afterwards.
Minor details.
But that's okay. It was minor. So I've been riding. I went to Moab. I just got back. I took the red eye back on Sunday night. So I was home on Monday morning at 6 a.m. and drove up to see the solar eclipse. But so Moab was awesome. It was actually kind of cold there. I had to wear my puffy jacket. But the trails, I did three different trail systems that I had not been on.
Great.
And they were great. I went one called Clonzo, smooth and flowy. And then I won something at next step up, which was Klondike Bluffs, which thank you, Allie, for suggesting them. And then I did for my class Bar M trails. And we also did Falcon Flow at the end.
Nice.
So Moab's great for riding. I love it.
We're all a little jealous that you've been on a mountain bike, aren't
we? Seriously.
I know. Yeah. I've just been on the trainer.
Painful.
Yeah. Well, I knew we were recording. I'm like, damn, this is probably the longest in maybe 3 or 4 years that I've gone without riding my bike.
Oh, wow.
But I did get on my bike yesterday, Sunday.
Okay.
So I went for... went for a broccoli ride, as Stacia likes to say. So Stacia calls gravel riding broccoli. It's like, you have to eat your broccoli, but mountain biking is dessert.
Right.
So I ate my broccoli, and I took out my fat bike, but it has a 29-inch wheel set on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just a hardtail. And I just went and rode hills around my house on the road, and it was a beautiful day, and it was great to be out pedaling. But
really,
that's as close as I've gotten.
Yeah.
And what about you, Taylor? Trainer?
The other week I got out in Lebanon and I bombed some hills, which was
up or down.
I pedal all the way up to, I think it's the water tower in Lebanon.
Oh, yeah.
And that, Yeah, that hill coming down is fun.
Yeah.
Don't touch the brakes.
Don't touch. That is Taylor. Don't touch
just
the brakes.
Just don't touch the brakes. Yeah. Gives you a little insight into his trail building.
Yeah. Right there.
All right, cool. So hopefully next time we meet, we'll have some trails we've ridden on.
Yes.
I'm thinking that the snow is actually gone now. Like, we shouldn't have any more storms. And
I
let's
think so.
Just
it doesn't look like
out.
It in the 10-day forecast. Yeah. So that's so, pretty good.
Yeah.
Gets us through mid-April.
Trees will bud. Today it looked not dry, but there was no snow.
No snow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely wet. So. Maybe in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Yeah. Won't be long. Once it starts drying up,
yeah.
We'll
yeah.
be okay.
Yep.
All right. Cool. Well, how about our high, low, learn?
Yep.
Well, I think learn, Janet has some stuff to tell us.
God, definitely. Yeah. So the reason I went out to Moab is that I wanted to take this class from this man. He's called Gene Hamilton and is... his company is called Better Ride, and if you want to look at his website, it's betterride.net. But I wanted to take the class. It was a women's only 3-day class in Moab because I wanted to get more comfortable on doing chunk. Because last time in November or October when we were in Moab, I didn't feel that comfortable, and now I have the tools, and boy, what a difference in my confidence, my whole attitude, everything.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. So
well, you can always learn.
Favorite tip for me, I need to like skiing. I need to get, it's not like skiing, but I need to be more aggressive and down low and look ahead. So for me, I want to be more aggressive on the trails.
Nice.
And I think that's going to put everything together.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so learn. You can always learn. Because somebody once said to me, why are you going to the class? You know mountain biking. I learned so much.
Yeah.
So you can always learn from a class.
Right. And that's like a lesson for all of us. Like there's all things we can do better.
Yes.
Right.
I'm sure just being out there again helps. I mean, part of it is it's so different riding out there than here.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Out here and then going to Moab where it's just this red rock everywhere.
Yeah.
There's not a tree to be found.
Right. The views are amazing because there's no trees.
It's hard to follow all the...
You got to follow the paint strips, right? Yeah, the paint strips on the trails.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But it's very nice. I highly suggest it.
Well, good job, Janet. Yep. I can't wait to ride with you and see you just ripping it down those hills in your aggressive position.
Yeah. Yep. I'll be there. The 62-year-old will be ripping on the trails.
Yeah, she will.
Yep.
Watch out, here comes Janet.
What about you, Julie? I think you had a high you wanted to share with us.
So I'd say the Glowclips is what we were calling it. We ended up heading up to the Queendom at Stacia's camp, and we just had an all-day gathering. We did some broccoli riding, went out and had a really great gravel ride. I stayed back with my kids and got them out on their new bikes for the first time of the season, which
was
really great. And it was just massive potluck style, so just... Picking back on Janet's high from last time, that Glow community, getting to experience something really rad together, and we just lucked out. The blue sky, perfect sunny weather.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. So good. So thank you,
Stacia,
for hosting us, having us, and spreading the joy in your very special place in the Queendom.
And that's like an amazing bike community, right?
Yeah,
there.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it was families and families and families. That's what made it so special. Is it wasn't just us ladies. It was so many partners and their kids.
Yeah,
and parents as well. We had so many generations just out there enjoying the vibe.
Very cool.
And you?
I have low again.
Oh, no. Sorry. We didn't plan that one out.
Again, I didn't know that.
Okay. So, I've only been on one bike ride lately, so... and you guys know how much I love trying to, do all my own bike mechanics, right?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it doesn't go well. So, I had took off my fat tires, and then I switched put my 29-inch wheel set on my fat bike, so now it's my hardtail.
You're back up.
And when you do that, you have to take off your rear cassette,
mm-hmm.
and you got to take it off the fat tire and put it back on the regular tire. And if you remember, I think I told the story of last year where I took it off, and then I was so excited, and I cleaned it, and then I put it back on the wrong tire. Remember, I put it back on the fat tire instead of on the 29er? Anyways, so this year I was really cognizant of that. I'm like, okay, make sure you don't do that. But, it all came apart, and there's pieces all over the place, and I had it all together, and my husband Tim was helping me, because we found, I can't get it all to, it all has to, line up, and there's these little holes, and to get it all perfect. finally got it. I'm like, okay, great, cool, got it, perfect. Put it back on my bike, lubed up my chain, hung it up, right? So that was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago when I thought spring was coming, and then we had all this snow. So anyways, so I get it out on Sunday to go for the ride, and I, you know, chuck my chain. Okay, I need a little lube, great. Fill my tires. Okay, let's go for the ride. And most of when I start my ride from my house, it's all downhill, and it was all fine. And then I'm starting, and I'm going, I'm like, ooh, that doesn't sound right. Like, what the heck is going on? And I could not use two gears the whole time. Like, this, something is wrong. And by the time I realize this, I'm pretty far from my house.
Yeah.
And I look down, I'm like, oh, that's not right.
Uh-oh.
And I think there's little spacers between, like, two of the cogs are really, I'm like, there's no way there's room for a chain there. Like, oh, right. I missed a spacer or something's on backwards. Something's not on right.
Oh, man.
Man. So I haven't yet taken it off and redone it, but that's on my list for tomorrow.
So I guess the takeaway is to, if you
if
you have it up on the stand, go through all the gears.
Exactly. Okay. I obviously didn't because it, well, because when I got home, I put it up and I'm like, I mean, I can see, like, that's the problem. I can see it. It's really obvious once you look.
Can't fit.
But I think that day I was getting frustrated. Yeah. I was tired. It was getting late. Yeah. And, and, you know.
You're never going to make that mistake again.
I am never making that mistake again.
You know, that's one thing in my class when I didn't do something right, like my foot wasn't down low at 6 o'clock, it goes six. It's good to make mistakes. You learn more.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Yeah. So mistakes are good. You won't do it again.
You know, Andy once told me, well, you're not going to break anything, most likely. Oh, like, just try your best, and if you screw it up, just bring it back and I'll fix it for you. It's like, okay, but I'm like, I hope Andy's not listening. I'm like, I'm not bringing it down. Like, I'm going to fix it.
By the amount of bike work you do.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm terrible at maintaining my
bike. Oh, yeah, you're...
I think I'm the golden goose for Jay and Andy.
Yeah,
and
you go in there daily.
Yeah. Well, but then I do stuff like this, right? It's like, But again, I'll learn.
Yeah.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, she does.
It all makes sense eventually.
Yep.
All right, cool. Well, should we move on and talk about trail building?
Yes.
All right, cool. Well, so... Taylor, tell us a little bit about yourself and your riding history. Let's get to know you as a rider.
Sure. Yeah, I actually learned how to mountain bike, I think, in 2018. So I moved up here in 2016 for school from South Carolina. I biked growing up just around the neighborhood, but we didn't have mountain biking. That wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
It was kind of like beer and guns and fishing.
South Carolina.
But yeah, I moved up here and found myself bored and made friends, all of whom mountain biked and skied, and they said, oh, well, that's why you're bored. You need to you need to learn how to do these things.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just very quickly took to it. And I think I got dragged on a ride in Boston lot, which was objectively terrible. I mean, it just had this heavy steel bike. It was hot. I didn't have any water. And they just took me in all of the, I don't know, spiny. They said, oh, this trail's fun.
Oh, that's just mean. I thought you said you had friends. These are not friends.
I said objectively terrible, but at the end, I went, I need to get a mountain bike.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I knew I was going to love it. So,
yeah, cool. Yeah. You were bit.
Yes. Yeah. I think from there, I just kept biking, and I think, I don't know, took 2 years to actually enjoy Boston Lot. The whole time, I was like, man, this place.
That seems about right.
Yeah, it does seem about right. Two years.
Sounds about right.
And you get good enough, and you come around, and you
then you love it.
Come to enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I
haven't met anybody who, especially as a beginner mountain biker, who likes Boston Lot to start with.
I did.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it gets to a point where they don't like anything smooth and flowy. It's like, oh, I miss my Boston Lot.
No, early on, I found myself going to Peg and all these other places looking for flow trails. And nowadays, I'm like, eh, I'll just stay in Boston.
Exactly. Yeah, it's an acquired taste.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We like the chunk and the tech. Cool. So so what about trail building? When did that sort of sneak into your world?
That was, I think, just a byproduct of boredom during the pandemic. So I was nearing the end of grad school, writing my thesis. The pandemic happened, that was
2020.
Beginning of 2020.
Yeah, March.
So I had a bunch of time where I was consuming a lot of mountain bike media, basically watching people out in Squamish bike all this crazy stuff on this really cool train, going, man, I really wish I could like stuff like that. Wish we had that. And at the same time, I was just walking in Boston Lot a bunch. You just had all this free time, and I kind of realized, well, we do have terrain that looks like that. And so I think, I don't know, just naturally I went, I kind of want to go out and try to find some rollers or things to do, and started cleaning off some slabs. And I remember one day I was doing that, and some walker came up and said, hey, how's it going? I said, good. I'm just cleaning off this slab, going to ride it. He goes, cool, do you have permission to do that? I go, what's that?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you need permission to build a trail. And I said, well, I'm really just building a feature, not a trail, so...
A lot of education.
Yeah. you know, I think long story short is basically got in contact with UVMBA and the people on it because I knew them. And I think at that time they were trying out this, hey, propose a trail and, you know, we'll help you build it kind of thing. And so I was like one of the guinea pigs, I think, for that program where...
Yep, I think you were.
Yeah, well, I met with them, proposed it. They actually shot down the first one because it was terrible. Oh, it's actually a really bad trail.
Yeah.
I remember I was so focused on this one slab. I'm like, this is such a cool feature. You just need to get here. And look, there's just this waterfall line and it takes you right to it. And they go, this is not a good trail. You should, you know, take some time, walk around, really think about a trail and not just
the feature.
The feature. The feature,
right? Yeah.
And so I think I took all summer and fall and finally proposed a second trail in the fall of 2020, and by the next spring it had been approved, and you know, that was it. It was just
and you built it.
So for any of you local riders, the trail is lovingly known as Warrior Princess, and people come from far and wide to ride this trail.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
It's already infamous.
We're afraid to ride it.
Yeah,
it's that good.
I walk it and it's tough.
My new bike.
What's that? On my new bike, maybe. Downhill bike. Gotta get it up there. So we're gonna come back around to the whole permission thing and that, but what I want to just sort of start by saying, sort of our goal for tonight is to help educate all of the women and people who listen to our podcast about how much energy and work and thought and hours go into trail building and trail maintenance. But we also want to encourage women to participate in this activity, because this is not, I know for me it was definitely something I was afraid of. And the first couple of UVMBA trail days I was involved in, it involved me dropping off my kids. Like, I don't know how to do that. I'm not doing that. Like, seriously, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Nobody told me, like, oh, you can just go and trim trees. Well, that would have been great.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our goal for tonight. So we're hoping Taylor can help walk us through sort of the how to do this kind of thing.
Perfect.
So let's talk about the different kinds of trails. So when you're building a trail, you have some choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know the terrain's going to dictate those choices, but so just to sort of make sure we're all on the same page, the two main types of trails are going to be machine-built flow trails or good old-fashioned rake and ride.
Yeah.
Do you want to describe in your mind what those look like?
Well, I think, you know, I think of machine-built flow trails, I think of bike parks, right? Big, wide, flat, smooth, jump trails, fast. Right. Super fun. Everyone loves those.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then rake and ride is B-lot or landmark, right?
And it's just that. Like, you took a rake out, you raked a trail, and you ride it.
A couple fallen trees, a couple rocks, and...
Do you need natural them sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real art to trail building. Have you guys ever, done any walking and done any trail planning?
No.
I mean, not intentionally, but, like, I've been out on a group ride and been with a couple of people who have a couple ideas of what they want to be doing, and they're like, oh, come walk this and tell me what you think.
Yeah.
And my dad's built trails his whole life from dirt biking and now into mountain biking, and so he's always talking about it and walking and dreaming and stuff like that. So I've been around that. But I've never been part of that whole planning, walking phase.
I had an experience a few years ago. It was worth at Hurricane. So they were proposing a new trail, and they had Vermont Youth Conservation. They had a grant for them to come, and it was rerouting the old Lower Pine Drop because it was a terrible trail and it was way too steep and it was not sustainable. And so they wanted to close that off and build a new one. And we met with somebody from... Vermont Conservation, somebody from the state. And she was amazing because a bunch of us, like Bill Brown, Wayne Hoisington, like kind of like the trail builders of that entire system.
Yeah.
We walked with this woman and we showed her what we had walked and thought would be great.
Yeah.
And the things she pointed out to us, like, well, you see how there's all these big down trees here? That means this is really wet in the spring and that's not going to support this. And then, and this over here, like she just kept pointing out reasons why our trail was not a great trail. And then she showed us her route, which was like, we didn't even see it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, that's going to be a lot of work. Like, that's a lot of bench cutting. And she's like, yeah, but that's going to be, that's a sustainable trail.
Oh,
like,
wow.
That's, so building on the side, like, so I just learned, I mean, in like a 3-hour walk through the woods, like the amount I learned was crazy. Because, you know, our eyes go to that kind of low, like almost like the water lines, the runoff.
The
trail's right there. Like, that's where we should go. And that is so not where you want to go.
Yeah.
And this is why it's so important to not just like, oh, I'm going to build a trail.
Yeah, yeah.
And just build a trail. Because it's likely not going to be sustainable.
Right.
Right? So I wanted to share with you guys, when I was doing some research for this, there was this great article from Red Bull, and it was highlighting Remy Morton. So Taylor's a big fan of Remy.
I am. I mean, I don't think I know too much about him, but I have followed him over the years. I mean, he, again, he's a phenomenal rider and even better trail builder.
Yeah.
It's cool how they go hand in hand. I mean, the better you get at trail building, kind of the, you have to get better at riding, right, to test out all the things you're building. And
so he's a pro really rider and a pro trail builder.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a company, a trail building company called Flux.
Yeah.
And he talks about when you're building a trail, he says it's like creating a big painting on a mountain.
Hmm.
It's up to the builder to ensure that it rides well, it looks good, and it fits with the natural terrain. If it's done well, it will stand for decades to come. And when we walk Warrior Princess, we haven't actually ridden it yet. That's what I think you've done such a great job with, of like taking that natural terrain and turning it into something really fun and like, ooh, how did you get that vision? Like, how did you go through that? Because I know it didn't look like that when you started.
No. No, I don't think there is a straightforward answer. I really spent a lot of time. I mentioned, right, I kind of spent that summer and fall walking around. And like Julie said, what her dad does, I was just daydreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Go stand on top of something, go, man, wouldn't it be so cool if you could just ride down that? If only there wasn't this huge tree at the bottom or this boulder, or, you know, everything was just slightly different. And, I think it starts off in that way, very creative and thinking big, and then consistently getting out there and looking at it again and reevaluating and thinking a little more logically and going, okay, is this practical and where do I end up? You know, what's really hard is when you find a fun one-off feature that just doesn't take you anywhere. Or, you know, it sends you straight down or straight into something terrible. And you go, oh, it's just the coolest roller or the coolest drop. And I have to leave it. You know, you have to think about the trail as a whole and not just that one feature like I was doing in the beginning.
Yep. So this is really an evolutionary process.
And
are you like a creative guy? Like, are you artsy, creative?
Yeah, I actually grew up playing guitar and drums, and I think it's interesting. He relates it to painting. I never painted, but I always did. I got the same sense when I would trail build, or when I would think about trail building, that I would when I would write guitar riffs.
Sense.
You know,
wow,
I
would
hear
creative.
Something in my head, and I just obsess about it until I was finally able to make it real. And it's kind of the same with trail building. I just envision myself writing this feature over and over and over again. Think about it going to sleep, and the day you, you know, you finally do it, it's just so satisfying.
Cool. We need to do that. Look at the features and think about it over and over. Maybe we'll do it then. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, but then, by the time I ride the feature,
vision is key.
In one sense, I've already
done it in your head.
Thought about it. So,
cool.
So many times.
Yeah. Well, that whole visualization thing is so real.
It's so
helpful. And this is your first trail, right? That you've built in totality.
Yeah.
Minus the one that I've totality.
You are so funny, Julie.
Oh, no. I'm here for another. No, but like that must have just been so surreal to have that obsession come through and then actually see it come to life and then being able to ride it, you know, all the way.
It's satisfying.
And then it got like a ton of attention.
Right.
So people really were coming from all over. And
yeah.
before we actually met you, or before I met you anyways, it was just like, yeah, this Taylor Swift guy.
Yeah,
Taylor Swift. And he kind of got this nickname, yeah. Taylor Swift. Yeah. Right?
And a lot of people will call the trail Taylor Swift.
Yeah. But part of that is that you were so fast.
Yeah.
Like, so many of the trails, at least in our network, take really, really long time to build.
Yeah.
And I know, because I was on the board when you were the, like, guinea pig of this, like, hey, propose a trail and we'll kind of support you and see what you need. And, you know, they thought it was going to be, like, an entire season thing, and you were done, like, I don't know. It felt like weeks. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's already done, and he's building more.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yeah, I was just obsessed.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Taylor Swift. Yeah, there's your name.
That was funny. I didn't find out about that for, I don't know.
Taylor Swift?
I had been working on the trail for a year before. I heard that. I think I was out working, and someone brought up and stopped, and I introduced myself. I said, hi, I'm Taylor. And they go, oh, you're Taylor Swift. I go, what?
Okay, we're all Swifties Swift. When we're on the, well, we're so, on yeah, the trail.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's Taylor Swift on Strava. And I didn't use Strava back then. I had no idea that was what people called it. So.
Oh, that's the segment called Taylor Swift.
Is on Strava. Yeah.
Oh,
but you didn't have Strava to know that that's what it was labeled.
Well, I wouldn't know that name either, because I've never done the trail, so I wouldn't know the segment.
Yeah, cool.
Cool. No, that's funny. So I didn't know that either.
And what did it feel like for you when you saw, like, other people riding this? And, oh, like, when it kind of got all the hype, like, that must have been amazing for you.
Yeah, it's great. I'm sure it's the same sense you get when someone says they like your music or your painting, right?
I mean, yeah.
In one sense, it's a piece of you, right? And so they said, oh, I love it. And you're like, oh, well, they love me. because I mean, selfishly, I built it for myself.
Right.
Right. Yeah. At the time, I said, I want to build stuff that pushes my riding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do I want to ride? And it turns out a lot of other people want to ride it too.
Yeah.
Which is fun. And nice.
And what I love so much about it is the way you've used the rocks and you've moved stuff. And
oh, it's beautiful.
It's so beautiful to look. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, Julie's husband is a stonemason, and he would love your trail.
Oh, yeah, you should walk over there with him.
He would totally appreciate, like, ooh, I love the way you did that. It's like, you know when you go to those really beautiful stone patios like Julie's?
Yes.
That's like Taylor's trail. It's like the stone patio in the woods.
My girlfriend is so tired of hearing about rocks every day. I like just be walking around and go, that's such a nice rock.
You are a little rock obsessive, I do have to say.
Yeah, the rock work is beautiful, though. It's really nice
to work with. There's no dirt.
That's right. It's no dirt.
But also makes it sustainable too.
Right. Yeah. And you didn't, you know, you didn't just haul up some lumber.
You might, you know, that like was your workout, you lifting rocks and moving rocks, right?
Yeah. No, thankfully, I knew enough, right? Because I was watching a ton of stuff out from BC, and they do a lot of woodwork because they have all of that cedar, which is phenomenal for woodwork.
It's rock resistant.
And we don't. We have a bunch of pine, and it rots so fast.
Right.
So,
yes.
Again, I was working with the board, and they're always harping on sustainability and don't think about it, what it's going to look like in a season, but what's it going to look like 10, 20 years from now. And so, well, we have a bunch of rocks, and rocks are, you know, stay around for
They're probably going to be there. Yeah.
So, I mean, truly, it was just to go out, take the dog for a walk, maybe move a rock.
Yeah.
And call it a day. Well, great. I moved a rock. And maybe in 2 weeks from now, I'll have enough rocks to make a little landing or transition or whatever it is I need. But then once that's done, I never have to come back to this.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, it's like our Tuesday morning with Jerry rides. Taylor sometimes joins us. And there was a time last year when the weather was crappy and it wasn't a smart idea to ride the trails that we would go do trail work.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of Tuesdays. I think it was just you, Jerry, and I.
Mm-hmm.
And we just were fixing up a little part. Was that on Quarry Red?
I think so.
There's like a little wet part on Quarry Red. And so we looked and looked, and Taylor's like, well, I think we can just do rocks and do this and that. And I'm looking around like, rocks?
Yeah.
Like, where?
Oh, they're
Taylor's like, And he just like starts walking, and he's like, here's a whole bunch. And so for him, I don't know how many, a couple Tuesdays, like that's all we did was just go and dig up the rocks. And I maybe identify them, and then Taylor and Jerry would come get them. Yeah. But some of them are really big.
Oh, yeah.
But I was so impressed that, like, from week to week, you guys would just, it's like, you must have got out another day, and then there's, oh, look, there's another some here, and then all of a sudden, one day you're out there, it's like, oh, look, they finished it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all good to go, and now it's this nice little rock room.
You know, the key they taught us, Taylor and Austin did, go uphill. Oh. Find the rocks uphill.
Oh, there you go. I love that.
I go uphill. I'm like, duh, yeah.
Yeah. And where did you learn that trick? Where were you working with Taylor and Austin that
Route 10.
You learned it?
Route 10.
Yeah, was that on a trail day?
Yes.
Yeah. Ah.
Glow day.
A yep. Glow day.
Oh, that was.
It yeah. was, yeah.
Yeah, because the weather was bad again.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Yeah.
Work. Just did trail work.
Weather was bad last season?
Yeah.
It was raining. It didn't rain, did it? It wasn't raining, but it was wet.
Yeah. Yeah. Too wet to
yeah.
ride.
Too wet to ride.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually really enjoy those days when we don't ride. And I mean, I miss, of course, I want to be riding, but instead of doing nothing,
you do something.
Being yeah. on the trail. And you just see it from a different perspective.
Yeah, oh, that's wow. true. Yep.
But working with Taylor, I mean, you guys have had the yeah. experience. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. yeah.
It is. What are they, what are, we're doing what here?
Yeah. Oh,
I worked with you guys, you and Austin, on the minor threat little mm-hmm. upgrade. And at first when I got there, I'm like, what are we doing? Like,
oh,
I just,
right,
I yeah. had no clue. Like, I just couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And then a few hours later, I'm like, oh, this is going to be so
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And how much do we love it?
Yeah, yeah, it's nice.
That's the hardest part, though, is really starting before you can see everything together. You're just collecting dirt or rocks for a long time.
Usually, yeah.
Right? It's yeah. not easy. You know, yeah. the way you said, okay, well, where are the rocks?
Yeah.
People are, I can always tell they're a little disappointed when I go, well, I don't know, just walk around. We're going to go find
something. Yeah, far away.
No secret. You're just going to be poking around for a long yeah. time.
But yeah. if you don't walk in the woods looking for rocks, you don't see them.
Right.
Like, I got
right.
so good at finding rocks after just a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're like, ooh, that's a good rock if we ever need,
yeah.
you know. Like, oh, you're,
right.
You're
yeah.
somewhere,
yeah.
wherever.
Yeah.
And you just start seeing these good rocks.
It's a whole lesson to figure out what's a good rock.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, if they're too round, they're not good.
Forget about
unless,
it.
But if they're round, then you can use them underneath
that's
for support.
Right. Like, how big see? Is the hole?
Yeah. All right. So Remy Martin has this list of like 7 things. Mm. So I thought we just kind of, I mean, we've talked
your
about
list
a lot
thing.
Of them. You know, I like lists.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so number 1 is get permission. So Taylor, you got permission from the Upper Valley Mountain Bike Association, which is the trail advocacy group that takes care of those mm-hmm. Boston lot. So wherever you are, ladies and gents,
yep.
You need to find out who manages those trail systems and then reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think they'd be like, yeah, sure, go do what you want. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily the way it goes.
No, usually not. I mean, it depends. For what landmark in particular, Dartmouth College owns that. Boston lot is owned by the city of Leb, so I think a lot of people don't even know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, colloquially, everything is just referred to as B-Lot, mm-hmm. but it's actually kind of two large tracks where Dartmouth College owns part of it, and the UVMB manages that, and Lebanon owns Boston Lot, which is the other part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And when he's saying Boston Lot, that's essentially like the Boston Lot Lake,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, that few side. Little areas around it. But the majority of our mountain biking trails
yeah.
are technically on landmark track, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
But if you want to connect them, and that's where we've had some problems, right? Because there's one trail lakeside
that yeah.
needs to be Oof. Redone. But it's like, well, who's going to do it? Because it's not us, not UVMBA, but the Lebanon Conservation are not mountain bikers.
Yeah,
so. It gets tricky. There's a lot. I was amazed when I joined the board, and Janet, you probably had the same experience of the politics of,
oh, yeah.
of a quarter mile of trail yeah. in the woods that the majority of the population is never going to see
right.
what the politics around it are.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I was amazed too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. All right, so Remy then says you have to get to know it, and you have to walk it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, Taylor, I think you've done a good job
yep.
explaining to us how important that is. And then the hard stuff starts, because then you got to start clearing it.
Yeah.
So what's that like? I mean, is it chainsaws and moving big logs and
it depends. I actually
brush?
Was just doing that today, and it feels a little silly, because I clear so much more area than you would think you need.
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of the, you know, a clean workspace is an efficient workspace.
Yeah.
Especially mm-hmm. when you're walking far away to get rocks or whatever.
Oh.
You know, what sucks more than moving a big rock is moving a big rock and tripping over little sticks.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
Kind of the first step is you have where you want your line to go, and then you just kind of look 20 feet on the other side and just try to clear away as much deadfall and things
yeah.
that are in the way, and so you can really see what's going on and you know, just move around. And
so this must be, spring must be a great time of year.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah.
before all the ferns are out.
Yeah,
all the little things are obscuring your view.
And all the ticks are not ticks.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
All right, and then you build it.
Yeah, the easy part, you build it.
That's the easy part. is that better with a group? Are those like trail days? Like, because sometimes I feel like when we show up for a trail day, like you guys have done so much work already. Yeah. And we kind of get to come in and like, yay, look what we built.
Yeah, yes
it's
and no.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's one of the things that I would like to get better about, because it's different leading a group than yourself, right?
Oh, right.
I mean, part of what I enjoyed was that I would just go out by myself, me and my dog. I would work at my own pace. I noticed that during trail days, I pushed myself a lot harder.
Oh, right. Because
I feel like I have to perform for other people. I don't want to waste their time, you know, and they're usually, this is their one trail work day for the season, so they're all gung-ho. By myself, I just, you know, I'll flip a rock and then I'll sit for 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I flip it again.
That makes me feel so much better.
I know.
Because when I work with you, I'm like, oh my God, it's like an animal.
They want to get it done.
One more shovel full.
Yeah.
One more bucket.
Let's go.
Right, but you're right. We're like, oh, only another hour and we get pizza.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, you want to show up and have something fruitful for them to do, not just say, oh, I don't know, maybe go pick some rocks up or something. And that just takes some mental effort ahead of time that sometimes I don't want to put in, honestly. But
fair enough.
Yeah.
So Remy then says, once you've built it, that you should walk it. And I saw a thing where he talked about bringing a soccer ball out, and he likes to kick the ball down the trail and just see where the ball rolls. Because that can give you a lot of information on the line of the trail.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah,
we're going to have to get you a soccer ball, aren't we?
I always joke that I modeled my trail after the way that my dog, quote, unquote, biked, which was she just ran straight down the hill.
The fall line. Straight down the fall line.
You know, every time I would take her biking and you have these switchbacks where you're going back and forth across the hill, she'd learn pretty quick, oh, I can just run straight down.
Smart dog.
Well, I thought that whole soccer ball idea was brilliant.
Yeah, I like that too.
You just need a dog.
You just need a dog.
Yeah.
All right.
I think I'd bring a tennis ball.
Yeah.
Soccer ball seems
easier.
Pretty big.
Yeah, tennis is a lot easier. Yeah.
Good point. Although, also easier to lose.
True. Yeah. But it's yellow.
Yeah.
So then, after you walk it, it's time to ride it. But, depending on where you build and what your surface is, sometimes you come across trails that are closed and they're brand new and they look amazing and you just want to ride it. Why are those trails closed? Why can't you just ride it?
Those are fun, flowy dirt trails, and they really need time to dry out and settle. Right? If you get tires on too early, you're just going to rut everything up, and it's also not going to ride well.
It's
probably not going to clear the chumps. You're not going to
be soft.
Speed.
Yeah.
So don't be, you know,
trapping rope.
Yeah.
Or duck and rope, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
Either one.
Either.
Don't go on the trails when they're closed.
Right.
And I didn't realize that sometimes, like, you think, oh, like, next week it'll be open. But it can take months, depending on where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good just to know why. I mean, you might be like, why is it closed? But now you know.
Yeah, it's going to take a long time. Like, the new trail up at Craft is going
to
take a long time.
Yeah, it's
especially because it's so steep. And
What is it, Tepper Jack? I was thinking like over in
Woodstock.
Yeah.
That was pretty loamy out there.
It was.
When they built those.
Yeah. And I think that sat for quite a while, too.
It did sit for quite a while before fully opening. And a lot of that was safety, too, is you got to be careful. It may look like it's done at the top, but if the trail's not finished at the bottom, right now, maybe I'm just speaking of experience. Maybe I did that 100%.
No, you're right. Yeah. It's very flowing, jumping, and all of a sudden it's just kind of off camber enduro style.
Yeah, I love the second half.
Yeah, the second half is super good. Right. And then the really hard part, so the last step is maintain it. And so those sustainable practices, things like using rocks instead of wood. But what other kind of things do you have to think about?
Drainage?
I mean, water is really just the biggest thing I've noticed. And the maintaining, I've been done with the trail in my mind for a year and a half or two, but I still walk it all the time, and there are things that I do. The more people ride it and the more it weathers in, I see, oh, that's actually a mud hole now. Yeah. So this will get more rocks.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a dream that one day everything will just be rocking.
It'll be like, we're in Moab.
Yeah, that's Moab. Yeah. All rock.
Really,
yeah.
I think it's pretty close.
We'll
I
have my paint.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to do as much maintenance on their trails. Just paint. No. It's a lot easier. Repaint the line.
They don't have to pick up sticks.
Right. And they don't have, yeah, there are no sticks. You're right. They don't have to pick up sticks.
They have to pick up bike parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody crashing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we used a term that we should define for people. So if you're kind of new to trail building, you haven't been out there working on a trail day, we said bench cutting.
Yeah.
So we're all pretty comfortable with what that means, but Taylor, can you explain what bench cutting is?
To you might be better. Well,
Julie, can you describe what bench cutting is?
Sure, I can pretend. My understanding of what bench cutting is so if you're in an off-cambered area and you want it to make riding that flatter, so you're not just sliding out and sliding down the hill, you take your tools and you cut into the hill to create a flat area that you can traverse across the off-cambered hill.
That's way more clear and concise.
Yeah, that was a nice good explanation. Job, yeah. I'd like that.
Spending some time with trail days.
It's
a lot of work. Yeah. But we've all ridden those trails where you're like going along the edge of something and you have a big steep cliff on one side and a big hill on the other side, and you're trying to keep your balance, and somebody, cut all that out. And you'll also notice some of the trails, I'm thinking at Hurricane in particular, or Twisty, how that got widened over time, right? Like they went back and said, oh, we need a little more. This is too narrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's bench cutting.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about the tools that we use, because we don't know the names of them. And when we go to trail days, we like to make it look like we know what we're doing.
Do we?
It all starts with an Alta bomb in the parking lot.
Yes. Yeah. That gets us going.
You'll find Glow around Stacia's car drinking Alta bombs at 9 o'clock in the morning as we break into groups.
Okay, espresso, so Julie, what is an Alta bomb? So we stole it from something out west at Alta, Ski Alta. People take these while they're waiting for the cannons to go off to set off the avalanches to make it safe to go skiing. And so one thing, and I'll get this part of the story a little bit wrong, because I'm a snowboarder. I'm not allowed at Alta. I have not partook in an official Alta bomb. But anyway, so you go out there, and as you're waiting for the cannons to finish and do their thing, you need a little coffee in the morning, but maybe also you need a little beer to get your day going. So you take a shot of espresso and a can of PBR, and you have a glass, and you fill your PBR up about halfway. And then
silo cup.
Red silo.
And then you drop your shot of espresso into it, and you drink it in one fell swoop, and it's delish.
Delish.
It sounds so strange and so weird.
It's so good.
It does.
But it is so good.
So good.
And it's just a right amount of excitement plus
relaxation.
It is. Yeah.
It's the perfect pre-trail day bevy.
That's right.
There you go.
Or if you're like a little anxious before a race, I say there's no better way to take that edge off too. Yeah. Don't take yourself so seriously.
Good old Alta bombs. So you want to show up at a trail day and again, my first two trail days, you actually want to get out of the car. You don't just want to drop off your kids.
Yeah.
You want to get out and you want to help. And there are so many things you can do even if you have no clue what this is all about. So it's not like they're actually going out, building a trail, and going to give you a bunch of tools that you don't know what to do with.
Right.
There's plenty of work to be done.
Yeah.
I would say the majority of trail days I've worked on will have been wood bridges. So if it for the technical side of stuff, but usually it's raking and trimming.
Remember when we went up when we did the rake?
We raked loop. Raked loop.
I had the blower. No, I had these shears, and then we raked shears and raked and a blower. We had
that trail looked so
three
good.
Of us. We attacked it.
We attacked it.
Yeah,
we were awesome
because it had so many leaves and overgrown stuff.
Yeah, it was getting really hard to find the trail.
I got those electric trimmer things. They were great.
Such a difference.
Yeah,
and not getting bramble.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's all of us.
That's
can
pretty
do that
easy.
Kind of trail work.
Yep.
And it does look so good after.
Yes. And after the winter clearing, all the branches that have dropped off, they're everywhere.
It's huge. Everywhere.
Yeah. I've been so many derailers.
Oh right.
Little sticks.
Yep.
The season.
Yep. So that's easy, picking up sticks.
All right, but there are some trail-specific tools.
Yep.
If you knew the names, you sound pretty boss.
Okay. We'll help you.
So we all know what a shovel is, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And the spade shovel.
Yeah. Yes.
Digging up dirt. And when you go to trail days, you're going to also see some big buckets. And those buckets are to carry out with your shovel because you're going to be digging on the side of the trail to get dirt to put on the trail.
Right.
Right? And you have to get through some of the top stuff before you get to the dirt. Mm-hmm. How do you guys know where the good dirt is?
I have yet to figure that out.
Okay. Can you start digging?
Yeah. Honestly, throw a shovel down, jump on it. If it goes in, then...
It's good dirt.
Right there. Yeah. I don't know. I guess depressions in between trees, right? Looking for kind of natural clearings. Yeah. I think where trees fall, usually on the other side, is some good dirt.
Good dirt. Okay.
And I've built one trail, and it's in probably one of the rockiest parts of the Nab, so I haven't looked for dirt too much. I've just assumed there is none, and find rocks.
Find rocks. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of trail days, I end up digging dirt.
Yeah.
That's like the job of just like fill the white bucket.
I dig that.
And we take turns of like who's shoveling and then who's carrying the bucket over towards the trail.
Right. Yeah.
But it's hard work.
It's a hard work.
The bottom of Candies, you know, that where it comes into Canyon.
I was on that.
Year.
I was with you.
That was a lot of dirt.
That was a lot of dirt.
And rocks.
Yeah.
I was doing the Beaver Dam Bridge.
That's right.
You were for the Beaver Dam,
which was a lot of dirt, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so axe.
We got that.
We all know what an axe is. How about the mattock?
Yeah.
I know. I don't know what that is.
The mattock, okay, let's make sure we get this right. Is the mattock the stomper or is the mattock the axe thing?
It's got
mattock?
It's a pick with the
axe.
The flat part?
What do we call that?
Hoe.
Pick.
The hoe. That's
and the
pick
hoe.
With a hoe.
Pick
so one side is a pick and one side's like a slicer. It looks like a miner's pick on one end and the other side
is like a little hoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what about the MacLeod? That's what I call the, like the.
The
compactor.
The tamper.
Tamper.
The hoe ring.
With a fork thing.
Yeah.
Claw.
Yeah. Oh, the big the flat hand. Bottom, and you always see them like stomping it down to make it firm, basically.
But that's also what you use the fork and the claw to bench cut.
Right.
To dig in and scrape through.
That's the MacLeod.
So the MacLeod's a really good tool. I know we've got a couple of them in the UVMBA trailer. Mm-hmm. And when you show up, so someone says, hey, can you go grab me that MacLeod?
Right.
It's the big flat thing with teeth on it.
Yeah. Well, I like your name, Claw.
Yeah.
It's like
Taylor.
It's like a hoe.
Yeah.
Claw hoe.
Yeah.
Whatever you
Which is different than the mattock.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mattock's more like the pickaxe.
Right.
It has the sharp end.
But don't confuse that with the Pulaski.
Oh, wait. What's a Pulaski?
The Pulaski is similar to that. But it has a strong axe end
on one side. And a tiny
and
hoe.
A tiny hoe.
Oh. Yeah.
Or actually, isn't it the larger hoe than the other hoe?
No, the mattock.
Anyways, it has a hoe on the other side.
Yeah.
And that's the one you use like when you want to get a rock out of the dirt, like you can dig up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should see us all because we're all moving our arms. Like, that's the one you do this, and then you do this.
Yeah.
Who knew all these names?
It's a good thing
tools.
We're not on YouTube.
I've seen the tools, but I don't know what they're called.
Right. So one more time. So we got the mattock.
Yep.
The MacLeod.
Yep.
And the Pulaski.
Okay.
So you'll sound like you really know what you're doing.
I'll just say, give me one of those.
Yeah.
So if you go to Trail Days and
claw.
You see Taylor, you say, Taylor,
give me the
do
claw.
You need the Pulaski?
Yeah. No, give me the claw.
Give me the claw.
And if you're looking, these could be good pickup lines. Do you need a Pulaski?
No, I need the mattock.
There you go.
Are you a mattock lady or a MacLeod or a Pulaski?
The other thing you want to show up with, if you have, make sure you have gloves on.
Yeah.
Right?
If you have
any kind of shears, cutters,
I love my electric loppers.
What are the big ones called, like you cut the tree limbs with?
Loppers.
Loppers.
Yeah. Loppers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those come in really handy.
I like my electric loppers.
Jan and Jerry,
those are awesome because those loppers is hard, but this little electric one is so
amazing.
Powerful.
And I tell you what, my dad's favorite trail building maintenance tool is his electric chainsaw.
That's another good one.
My husband has one of those. He loves it.
In his Camelback.
They're light.
And can ride his bike out to what he's doing and get rid of a lot of
Having the right tools, I think, is key, right?
Yeah. What I'm doing better this year. I got an electric chainsaw, which is great.
Do you have the electric shears?
I have a sawzall. I don't have the shears.
Oh, I'll have to send you the the link to the one I got. It's they're good and they're little. They fit right in the backpack.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And depending on where you are, leaf blower, yes, no. Some people are, you know, have opinions about leaf blowing trails.
Brakes definitely bring the throw a rake in your vehicle.
Yep. And the bucket, if you have the bucket.
And the other thing you should do if you're going to a trail day is make sure you mark all your tools that you're bringing.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing worse than that.
Yeah, and try to, like, we always put orange contractor's tape or something, like, or write our names on it. And there was one year, it's like, hey, we found a rake with shawl on it in the woods. I'm like, oh, yeah, that must be ours. Must have got left somewhere at some point.
Yeah, I put tape on mine, too, in the name.
So make sure you label everything. And then wheelbarrows, pails.
We've got an electric wheelbarrow, too, now.
That is so cool.
Tell us about that.
Yes.
Anycom. The thing is heavy duty. It looks like a, I don't know, a wheelbarrow on a, meets a snow wheel, right? The huge tracks.
Yeah.
And so you were talking about carrying dirt in buckets, but we don't have to do that anymore.
Remember the one year there was pile of crushed stone or something,
hard pack. No, heavy hard pack.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
we got the boy. Boys.
We had teenage boys. They're like four of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They were animals.
Yeah,
they were so good.
But that was We're like, whoa!
Oh my god, it was so much work. It's so heavy.
Well, half the
time, shoveling, like, just people had to take turns just shoveling it into the wheelbarrows because it's just so heavy.
And then a lot of times we have to carry wood way up into the trail system.
Oh, remember that? You and I pressure treated stringers up to Corey Red. Like, we were way up there.
We thought it was an easy job.
We were dying.
We had to stop and switch and change, right?
It was so heavy.
Oh, yeah.
No, but it was fun.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Rokon and the wheelbarrow.
We got tools.
Yeah, we did not have the Rokon back then.
No.
I remember that day because they said, take this wood to Andy's. And I think I went to Andy's Cane. Or Andy's Trail.
Andy's.
I went to whatever the wrong one was. Which
Andy's
was not close to the other one.
Right,
A backpack full of 2x4s.
Yeah, those are heavy. Mm-hmm. That's a heavy backpack.
And sometimes some trail systems like ours are really good if they are doing woodwork and wood bridges. They'll often have the slats pre-cut.
Yeah.
So then if you have like an old overnight backpack, you can shove a handful of them in there. And you can carry them in your backpack, which is so much easier than carrying it in your arms.
Yeah, Doug has the old frame type. It's old,
perfect.
But it's great for trail days.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's great for Vermont 50 cleanup day.
Yeah, it's when you have to carry a lot of stuff. Cool. All right. So let's see. So the main actions we taught, you remove the topsoil. We get into that good organic matter. There's lots of digging. There's lots of shoveling, bench cutting, sawing, chopping, compacting. That's where you push everything down. And you got to do all of that work while you're still maintaining the flow of the trail.
Takes time.
It's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
I haven't done as much dirt work, but I know, again, what's hard about that is that it does compact. You know, it tends to move a lot more. I know, at least with the rocks, once they're there, they're...
Right.
Not really getting smaller.
They're not moving. Yeah. All right. Well, I have one more list.
Oh, you do? I see it here on the outline. Wow.
It says, how do we contribute? What are some of the do's and don'ts of trail building and trail maintenance? So, go for it, Janet. What's number one?
No rogue trail building. Talk to the people that maintain the trails and get permission, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Otherwise, they might have to tear it out because it's not allowed. So... you don't want that to happen.
No.
And this is ongoing, universal problem everywhere bikes are made. Yeah. Right? Like every trail system. Yeah. Although some have more rogue trail building than others.
And I think ours does because it's so natural. People think, oh, I can do whatever in these woods. But they're not your woods. It's not your backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also hard, I think, especially nowadays and through COVID when... there's such a variety of riders and people have an idea, like they might think they're helping by cutting out those roots, but it's like no,
smashing rocks,
like,
making
those roots.
Right, yeah, don't even besides rogue trail building don't do rogue trail maintenance except like moving
pick up sticks
but don't cut rocks and cut roots because people like those challenges.
Remember the tree, I think a lot of Corey Red today, but that tree on Corey Red, when you're when you're coming down and there's that little tiny bridge and there used to be a tree sticking up and so you had to lean your bike.
Yes.
And Jerry.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So somebody cut it down cut it off so that it was too low so that your handlebars wouldn't hit it.
Right.
And it really pissed off Jerry. And so he went and
put it back.
Nailed it back on.
Yeah.
It's gone now.
Right.
But there was a time.
Yeah.
So don't do stuff like that. And you might think like, oh, no, I'm helping. This is me contributing.
Yeah.
Clear everything with your trail group.
No, I mean, clearing downed branches, trees, if you're comfortable enough, cutting some stuff up just to get it off the trail.
Yeah, loppers on the side so you don't get whipped by stuff.
Yeah. All right, the next one we've talked about, which is volunteer at every trail dig day you can and learn as much as you can while you're there. Like, don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
They'll
help you,
participate.
Mm-hmm. And we're trying to be better about that, just hosting more of those. I mean, historically, I think it was always spring work day, fall work day.
Right,
you know, Austin, a year or two ago now, started kind of the weekday work days.
Yeah, those are great.
We're trying to be more consistent. Idea. You know, the feedback is, well, I'd like to know more than a day before.
And number three is, stop and fix what you can when you can. So we talked earlier about the rainy days.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a group ride planned and it's been wet and you don't want to ride, I mean, those are just such great days to get out and do some maintenance.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, our association has a list of things, like if somebody was to call and say, hey, our group ride's not happening tonight, what do you need us to do?
Yeah.
It wouldn't take you long to give us a job that we could do in 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
Clear. Yeah, I'm trying to put together a list of, what is essentially just rock collecting, but hey, here are all the known mud holes.
Problems.
If you're out there.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
Don't fill them, but just, find some rocks, move stuff right off to the side of the trail, don't block the trail.
Leave them there.
And that way, when we do have these trail work days, we can show up and just...
Materials there.
You guys need to do like a little YouTube video in high speed, showing people what you like. It's wet here. And then go over and find a rock, and then you guys dig it up, and then carry it over and leave it on the side of the trail.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
I think that would be great, because we have so many people who
are willing to work Instagram and want to work,
but can't always make the days and... That would help us too. Again, if we just
Then you wouldn't have to go searching. That's half. That's more than half.
Yeah, that's most of
it. Okay, yeah.
And I think people want to see. Well, what happens after we have the rocks? I want to put stuff together. That's what's fun.
Way they could do on a trail day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So communicate with the trail crew. See what they need help with.
Yep.
Number five. Don't alter the trail you didn't build. We've already killed that topic, right?
Yeah.
You think is improving the trail, others may see as ruining it.
Yeah, and we've had that happen.
Mm-hmm. So number six is learn to ride the obstacles. Don't remove them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's Jerry's tree.
You'll get there. I mean, it's progression to ride the trail, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a challenge. That's one thing I like about these things. It's a challenge. So if you take everything away... It's going to be boring.
Right.
So keep those things there. And, people are better than you and they'd like it. So, hey, let them have their fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And one day you'll ride that feature.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even though today you're like, oh, there's no way I'm ever riding that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then never say never, right? Okay. I really love this next one. It's donate to your local clubs for tools and help organize trail days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you can volunteer to bake brownies, you can volunteer to bring tools, you can donate tools.
Right? There we go.
I always thought UVMBA trail days, like, it's really nice they have pizza and bevvies, but
where's the dessert? Where's the brownie?
There's no brownies.
Yeah. I love that idea. Yeah.
All right. And number eight, this is something that I think we're pretty good at, is notify the trail crew if something is wrong. So if trees are down on the trails or there's new water damage or whatever.
Yeah.
So we often will take pictures. When I say we, I mean Jerry. And then he sends them to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know where, like, this, we're on this trail. Ooh, mm-hmm. Gonna need a chainsaw or gonna need two big guys or whatever.
Yeah.
That must be helpful.
Oh, totally. I think what I'd like to be better about is just having a kind of one avenue for people to... do that. I think right now it's spread across a number of different trail groups.
Yeah. I was going to say, there used to be a BLOT trail maintenance.
There is.
Strava groups.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of different
avenues.
And
that one's still active. Honestly, the BLOT...
maintenance Strava group is probably the best.
Yeah. It's basically just like, hey, here's a down tree, go cut it.
No, but at least you know they're there and somebody doesn't have a chainsaw, mm-hmm. saw they can...
And it always amazes me, like, oh, I just rode here yesterday and there's a big tree and, oh, it's gone today.
Yeah, that amazes me too.
Because I also like when you post it, it's, you don't know who goes and...
I do. I think it's Andy. He goes out.
But not always. Sometimes, it's like,
and if you do that, it's nice to respond saying, hey, I cut that.
Yeah, let them know if you do fix it. Somebody already fixed it.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Alright, number 9. This is so important. So don't ride in unfavorable conditions. And don't destroy the work, the hard work of the trail builders.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
bummer. I mean, that's gotta be so frustrating.
Again, maybe one day Warrior Princess is gonna have so many rocks that you can ride it. And
maybe it was raining.
Yeah, there you go.
It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're going to do it, at least show up to trail work days.
Yes. And number 10 is help educate all trail users on proper trail etiquette to help preserve the trails.
Yeah.
I like to also, like, if you see the walkers and the runners out there, is to mention to them that we're having trail days.
Yeah.
Because I think they are another group of trail users that might not understand how much effort is getting put into these trails.
And I think they use them and they appreciate them and they want to help.
Yeah.
And it's definitely fun. There was one year, like, a bunch of the running people came out.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, remember, we used to have like 100 people at trail days?
Oh, yeah.
And then COVID hit.
That's too many. That's too many.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, that's hard to manage.
That's a lot of people to manage.
It must be overwhelming.
Which is why I like the weekday work days.
It's right. It's
smaller.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, what you were talking about, educating. If you are out in unfavorable conditions, right, just go straight through the mud puddle. I saw a lot of that yesterday through the eclipse. I went out. Took some hiking trail. Mm-hmm. So many people were just walking around.
Right.
Because none of them had nice hiking shoes, and it was just trying to march
through
because the trails were just getting beat up.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's just so bad for the trails, and it just ends up creating new lines and water damage, and then it gets all spaghettied out. And you know, White Dot at Boston Lot is like that right now. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of them.
You can't tell where the actual line is anymore.
Yeah.
It's just so branched out. So, it's a really good point. Mm. Any other education tips we can be passing on to?
No, everybody? But it's fun to get involved and help out. So I think people should. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they want to again.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're making more opportunities for people to do that.
Yep.
I think you really are.
Yeah.
You're making a difference.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
And Glow has a great time out there.
Yeah, we always have a great time.
Yeah, we get a lot done. I'm always amazed because I've done so much work by myself again where I'm a rock a day.
Yeah.
Even just having two other people, we finish projects that would take me weeks.
Oh, right. Just having another couple people really increases.
And just to be clear, those projects that take Taylor weeks take most people months.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. There we go. There's the name. Yep.
Cool. Well, anything else we should talk about for trail building, trail maintenance?
No, just get involved.
Yeah. Exactly. It's
pay it back or pay it forward.
You don't have to know everything.
Pay it back.
To say you want to get involved and ask how.
Yeah.
All right, Janet. What do we got for a shout out tonight?
Okay, the shout out is for BetterRide.net, and I just took this class by Gene Hamilton, and that's the name of his company and the website. And I took a 3-day women's only clinic from him. He does have other clinics if some males want to go, and they have an Enduro one, I think, and a trail domineering one. So they have a couple different ones. But oh my God, to me, it was the best class I've ever taken. I learned so much, and it wasn't just biking skills, it was about balance, flexibility, mobility, vision drills, you know, just all these other things besides the great things on how to do cornering, how to do braking, how to do off camber trails, like on and on I could go. And I've been taking notes to tell my Glow ladies what I learned. But the thing is, what I liked about this class is I knew the instructor was going to be Gene Hamilton. He's been doing it for 25 years. He used to race. He is passionate about everything about mountain biking and about your body, everything. So it was just all encompassing. The other thing is he's super funny and has great stories. So even though he's talking all day long, And for me, it's amazing. I wasn't bored or looking somewhere else because he was very entertaining. And this stuff was, like, good. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And I did it wrong, and now I get it. So I highly recommend taking a class from him. It was awesome.
That's nice.
Yeah. Very yeah. Cool. And Moab's a fun place to visit. A lot of his classes are there because he lives there.
And he does classes somewhere else, though, too. Doesn't he do some in Colorado?
Oh, yeah. If you go to his site.
Yeah.
He's done in Fruita. He does some east, like Virginia and California. Okay. But he does a bunch in Moab.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad place to visit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And his website, once again, betterride.net. So not only can you find out about the classes, but he's got tons of articles and videos and a blog. And so he's so into it. He writes articles about the whole, you know, all different things. He compares bikes. He knows all about bikes. So I can't say enough. Thank you, Gene, for the class. I loved it. Yeah. Cool. And I think he got the first day, some poor lady couldn't make the class because she got food poison the day before. But anyways, he was going over the names, and I think he confused her with me. He goes, yeah, so-and-so, it wasn't me. She was 62, and she wants to know how to do a bump jump. He was impressed. But that, I'm like, I think that was me. I'm 62, and I said, I want to know how to do a bump jump. So it's kind of funny.
That's great.
So, how's your bump jump?
Well, I got to practice. That's the other thing. Once you learn all this thing, you got to do drills and practice. You can't just go out on the trails and know it.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing he puts in your mind. If you just go out 20 minutes, 3 times a week and practice the drills, it'll pay off.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I got to do that. But it was a fun class. Shout out to the ladies that I took it with. It was a great group of women, too. We went out to the Sunset Grill after one day and just chatted all night, and it was fun.
That's great.
I love it.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Harry, you're a great advocate.
There we go. I couldn't say enough. It was so good. That's great. So good. I learned so much.
Jan's taking a lot of classes, so that's
saying
something.
I
was taking, I'm like, I think I want to take this guy's class. I really like what he says and blah, blah, blah. And I'm so glad I did.
Yay.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, Taylor, we can't thank you enough for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We really appreciate all the work you're doing at Landmark.
Yeah.
And let's schedule a Warrior Princess session ride.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now that I have my confidence up because I took this class and I know vision and I know body position, I'm actually excited to do Warrior Princess. So doesn't that say a lot for me?
It does. Yeah, I love that. That's
awesome.
Bring it on.
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
So thanks for joining us. We really appreciate you and all you're doing for the club and for our mountain bike community.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. That wraps it up, right?
Yes.
If you like this episode, give us a like. Tell all your friends.
Go to the socials.
You can find us everywhere. You can find us on the socials at
GlowMTB on Instagram and Facebook group, or glowmtb.org for our website, and subscribe to find out our blog everything that's going on.
And rides, subscribe.
Events. Yeah. The season's kicking off, ladies.
Yes, it is. Subscribe to the podcast.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, if we don't see you on the trails or at trail days, we'll see you back here next month.
Yep.
Kick stands up. Hootie hoo.
All right, Taylor.
I know what's up.